This afternoon, if you have your Bibles, you want to continue our study through the book of Micah. And as we're coming in Micah this afternoon, I'm going to be looking at chapter 6. The Lord indicts Israel for things they're doing wrong. And then Israel responds to that indictment, and then the Lord gives a second indictment. We'll look at the first one and the response for sure, and we may get to the second one, I'm not sure. Israel, as you know, was facing being taken away into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar. The northern kingdom of Israel had been taken away by the Assyrians. The southern kingdom of Judah had not. Micah is speaking to those that are in the southern kingdom as calling them to repentance. They have had God's blessing in many ways, but yet they've ignored God's blessing and really ignored the Lord and have done that which is displeasing to the Lord. And many of the things that you're going to see as we look into this indictment are things that could be brought against people, Christians, and also our nation, and the day in which we live. So let's read chapter 6. Like I said, I don't know how far we'll get through this afternoon, but at least we'll get through the first indictment and reply. Hear ye now what the Lord saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with his people, and will plead with Israel. O my people, what have I done unto thee? And wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, redeemed thee out of the house of servants, and I sent thee before Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord. Israel's reply is, wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with the calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath renewed thee, O man. What is good and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? The Lord's voice crieth unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall be thy name. Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? Are there yet the treasures of the wickedness in the house of the wicked, and the scant measure, but is abominable? Shall I count them pure with the wicked balances, and with the bag of deceitful weights? For rich men thereof are full of violence, and the inhabitants thereof have spoken lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. Therefore also will I make thee sick in smiting thee, in making thee desolate because of thy sins. Thou shalt eat, but not be satisfied, and thy casting down shall be in the midst of thee, and thou shalt take hold, but not deliver. And that which thou deliverest will I give up to the sword. Thou shalt sow, but thou shalt not reap. Thou shalt tread the olives, but thou shalt not anoint thee with oil, and sweet wine, but shalt not drink wine. But for the statutes of Omri are kept, and all the works of the house of Ahab, and ye walk in their counsels, that I should make thee a desolation, and the inhabitants thereof an hissing, Therefore, ye shall bear the reproach of my people. Let's just pray. Father, I pray that you just speak to us as we look at these indictments that God brings against Israel. What they see is their response and how the Lord brings further indictments. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to understand the importance of examining our hearts. And Father, that you would also open up the eyes of people throughout our nation as to, rather than having a spirit of condemnation against the nation of Israel, that Lord, we'd also just look at our own lives. And Father, help us to see the importance of walking in obedience to you, and truly, as the song says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Lord, now speak to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's interesting, the Lord sets up a court, and he has a judge. And the judge is the mountains, the judge is the fields, the judge is really his creation. And he comes before his creation, and he brings, as the prosecuting attorney, charges against the defendant, and the defendant's Israel. The southern kingdom of Judah specifically. Although the northern kingdom had been involved with all of this long before, and he'd already dealt with them by taking them into captivity in Syria. And so let's begin and take a look at this and just look at try and take apart this indictment and see exactly what God's concerns are. And so he sets up this court and he calls on the mountains that have always been there. As long as Israel's been in the land, the mountains have been there. They've experienced everything that Israel's done because Israel has done it in the land. It wasn't when she was in captivity she did this. It wasn't before she went into Egypt and before she had become a nation that she did these things. It was after God had delivered her out of the hand of Pharaoh, brought her back into the land of Canaan, given her the land, made her a people, and did all these marvelous things for her, did all these miracles for her, and then all of a sudden she develops an attitude towards him and a rebellious spirit towards him and does that which is displeasing and dishonoring to him. Now, let's see what he says. Hear, O ye mountains, and the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with his people. That is, there's a strong indictment that he's bringing against his people. It's not just some little thing that they've done, but this is a controversy. A controversy means they're doing something that's extremely wrong, and it's something that is very controversial in what they're doing. It's not in line with the things they're supposed to be doing. If you're involved in a controversy, what it is you are doing something that's totally against the direction you're supposed to be going. And it's resulting in a controversy. It's resulting in something being very off kilter or bad. And he says, a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. It's not that he has neglected them or totally ignored them, or it's not that he's going to abandon them, but he is coming as someone who's pleading with them to turn from the direction they're going, to seek to deal with the sin in their life, and to come back to him. And so this is where God is. He's pleading with Israel. God pleads with people all the time. His Spirit calls people, calls them in that they would come home. We have a song in the hymn book, come home, come home, come home, you sinner, come home. That's God calling for people to come home. He pleads with them. Don't continue down this road, because this road ultimately leads to destruction and death, and it will result in my hand of judgment. And he does not want to judge any man, but he has no choice if we refuse to turn from our sin and repent of it and come back to him. So he's pleading for them to change. He's pleading for them to turn against them. Oh, my people. And then he asks these questions. What have I done unto thee? Now just stop and think about that question. What had God done to Israel to cause them to become wicked, to cause them to become sinful, to cause them to become rebellious, to cause them to turn away from Him. Just like if you look at America, and in America, it really reflects a lot of Israel's attitudes here. America was founded on biblical principles. It was founded upon the Bible in much of its the Constitution. Much of the Constitution is written on biblical principles and things that God revealed to men in His Word about the character of men, about how man needed to govern men, about the relationships with men and men. And all of that was revealed in God's Word, and our founding fathers did much to take that same thing and place those principles into the Constitution we have in our land to give us rights and freedoms, but also to maintain justice and the rule of law. And God did the same in Israel. He set forth a standard by which they were to live, and if they lived by it, they would have no problems. I just heard a guy say the other day that he said, you know, he was talking about football, and he said, if you play by the rules, there'll be no fines, but if you don't play by the rules, there's fines and there's consequences. And so he said, let's play by the rules. And that's kind of the way it is with God. If we play by the Lord's rules, there's no problems. If we do His will and walk according to His statutes, according to how He would have us live, there isn't an issue. The issue comes when we go outside the rules. Just like in football, if you, one of the problems that football teams have oftentimes is when their players violate the rules of the game, they get a fine, and it's detrimental to the success of the team. For example, one of the major fines is if you do something where you hit somebody illegally in football and cause a problem with your hit where you've done it wrong. It's called a personal foul, and you lose 15 yards. In a football game, that personal foul can be the difference between you being able to continue down the field to score a touchdown or having to give the ball over to the other team. And it's all caused by a moment of anger or a moment of not thinking or a moment of doing something that you shouldn't be doing that can cause harm, great harm to other people. That's why they have the rule in the game. Well, Israel is doing the same thing. They were doing things that were causing harm, not only to other people, but to themselves, in violation of God's commands, and there's no purpose for it. The Lord's saying, why are you doing this? I don't understand this. Why are you doing it? I gave you all of these things, and yet you choose to speak against me. What have I done unto you? And second, wherein have I wearied you? Had God wearied Israel? I want you to stop and think. Look at the people that were in the land of Canaan before Israel came in there and what they had. They were a wearied people. They were a people that was violating God's law, and they were killing their babies. They were worshiping false gods. They were a warlike people. They were a people that were filled with jealousy, hatred, envy. They wanted what other people had. They were constantly going to war with one another and doing that. Now Israel desires what they have. It doesn't sound like a very good trade-off to me. God gives them peace, joy, hope, a land which is flowing with milk and honey, houses that they had not built, fields that they had not seeded, olive gardens, olive trees that they had not planted. He gave all that to Israel, and what do? They want this over here instead. And he's going, why? Why do you want that? Oh, my people, what have I done unto you? And wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. Well, they have nothing to say. For I brought thee up, and then he gives examples of what he's done good for them. For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of servants, and I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. And he sent them before them to lead them in righteousness, to lead them out of the land, to bring them into the promised land. And he said, "Oh, my people, remember now what Balak king of Moab consulted and what Balaam the son of Beor answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal." Okay? What did Beor answer unto Balak? He said, okay, these are the things that you need to do. First of all, he tried to curse Israel, if you remember the account. Balaam tried to curse Israel. God wouldn't let them curse Israel. So the king of Moab got really upset with him because he'd given him money to curse Israel and he wouldn't curse him. So remember what he did? He told them, this is what you need to do so that God will become upset with Israel. Have their daughters marry your sons and your sons marry their daughters. Get them to compromise. Compromise their worship and faith with you, and that will cause God to become upset with them. He says, remember what I did. I protected you from those two conspirators. I tried to keep them from doing their evil plans against you. But you don't remember that either. He says, then he goes on, and Israel responds, wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? What do you want me to do, God? Come before you and bow down? Is that what you want? It's really, God wants them to come before him. He wants to have fellowship with him. He wants them to worship him in spirit and in truth. But they say, is that what you want? And shall I come before thee with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Do you want me to come with the burnt offerings? Is that what you desire? Okay, I guess I'll have to slaughter more of my herd just to bring it and offer it to you. Is that what you want, God? They're asking him. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression and the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Is that what I should do, Lord? But the amazing thing is, that's what God was going to do for them. And that's what God is going to do for us. Give his firstborn for our transgression and the sin of my soul. But they're saying sarcastically, is this what you want? They know that God hated the child sacrifice of the land, the Canaanites. He hated it. We studied in our lesson out of Genesis this morning that it wasn't even a thought in God's mind to do anything that abominable. And yet, we see that people not only did it then, they're doing it now. And they're slaughtering children, they're killing children, and they have no conscience about it. And so the Israelites are asking him, is that what you want from us? You want my firstborn? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. The response to that question is, he showed you what's good. He just got done telling you what's good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? Okay, so what does the Lord require? You're saying all these things, and you're saying it in a spirit of sarcasm and rebuke and speaking against God. What do you want, God? More sacrifices? More bullocks? More calves? Those aren't good enough. You want my firstborn child? Is that what you want? God's saying, no. That's not what I want. What does he want? He says, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. These are the three things that God requires. Not only of Israel, but of all people. And even what he requires of us as Christians. What is the first thing? The first thing he requires to do justly. Justice. Justly. To not do that which is wicked. In the second indictment, which we'll get to in a couple seconds, we're going to see that one of the things that God indicted Israel for was the fact they weren't just. They cared nothing about justice. They cared nothing about fairness, about equalness to people. And instead, they were respecters of persons. They treated those that had power and money differently than they treated those that didn't. They tried to take from those that they could take from and take advantage of those they could take advantage of. That's not justice. One of the things you see in our country today is a total lack of justice. A total lack of justice. Yet our nation was founded upon the principle that was found in God's Word that what? All men are created equal. There is no difference between the man and his creation. All, and by the founding fathers making that statement, they were saying, all men are created in the image of God. There is no difference between any man, woman, or child in God's image. And God has said in His Word, which our founding fathers discovered when they read it, God is not a respecter of persons. Men are respecter of persons. Have you ever seen that? Someone that people admire because they have power, or because they have money, or because they have position, or because they have a name, and they come to town, everybody wants to be there. Everybody wants to see him. But then there's somebody who comes that doesn't have money or doesn't have a name, and nobody pays any attention to them at all. It's amazing. We do become respecters of persons. We do run after people, and we treat people differently. And God's saying, that's not justice. You are to be just as my people. Justice should mark your character. To love mercy. To love mercy. What does that mean? Well, we should love mercy because there's been one who's been merciful to us. What is the concept of mercy? Mercy means I do not give to you what you deserve. I do not give to you what you deserve. Is God merciful to us? Yes, we deserve hell. But instead, because of Jesus Christ our Lord paying the penalty for our sins and our coming and receiving that gift of salvation, instead of hell, we gain heaven. That's mercy. That's mercy that He looked upon us and made a means by which we could be redeemed. That's merciful. Israel was to be a merciful people, but they weren't. And you can see that in some of the encounters that you have. And it can begin from the way that oftentimes some of the priests treated the people when they would bring their sacrifices, especially during the time of Jesus, which would be after this. But the Sadducees, at the time of Jesus, what did they do? They would play upon the people, and they didn't show any mercy to them. They rather used them and abused them. And so he says here, you're to be a merciful people. And then the third thing is to walk humbly with thy God. That's the third thing that you're to do. Walk humbly with your God. Not in pride, but in humility. Not in arrogance, but with your God. So we see here the third thing, walk humbly with your God. Not thinking more highly of yourself than you ought, but walking as a humble person and acknowledging you're only walking where you're walking because God is walking with you. So those are the three things that he wants to see in Israel. And he expects to see in Israel. And he should see in Israel. He showed them mercy. They should show mercy to others. Jesus gave the parable of the man who owed his fellow worker just a few, in our money today, hardly anything, just a few coins. And he went to his fellow worker and said, what? I need my money. I loaned this to you. Your loan is up. I need my money. And the guy said, well, I don't have it. Will you just give me some more time? I'll get it for you. And what did the guy say? No. And he had him arrested and he had him cast into prison because he couldn't pay a few coins. Well, then that same worker that did that to his co-worker, remember what happened to him? He borrowed a huge amount of money from the owner that he was working for. And the owner came and said, say, by the way, that money that you borrowed is due. And the guy said, well, I don't have it. And he said, well, can you wait? And can you give me time to gather it and pay it? And the owner was set to work out some things, but what happened? The co-workers of this man went and told the owner, do you know what he did to his co-worker? Because he showed him no mercy. Instead, he had him cast into prison for a handful of pennies. And he owes you thousands of dollars. And when the owner heard that, what did he do? He had the man cast into prison. Because he had no mercy. He had no forgiveness. He showed pride and arrogance instead of humility. And he only desired forgiveness because he didn't want to experience pain, not because he was walking humbly. Well, I tell you what, we won't get into the second indictment because I'm not going to be able to give it enough time, but we'll start that next week and we'll see that there are more things that God has against Israel. And the amazing thing is you see a lot of these same characteristics in our culture today. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us and help us to understand these truths, help us to apply these truths to our life. And Lord, may we have a proper attitude. May we seek to do that which is just. May we walk humbly, and may we walk with you. And Lord, may we love mercy. And Father, help us to show forth your character to a world that does not know you. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If you turn with me in your hymnals, to hymn 396, More About Jesus, What I Know.